Welcome back to the John Williams Show. It's Friday. It's almost happy hour somewhere.
I feel like we're in a nightclub.
You've been breaking my chops lately because I've been playing this kind of music at home. And I like the little... Ella's got some style. She knows what's up.
I like the music, but I think you're in desperate need of fun.
I am. We've been going through a lot. I want to liven up the spirits on the show and at home, too. You know, we were talking the first hour about Sherry's, you know, battle and struggle with thyroid cancer, and we're getting through it. You know, we're trying to find ways to rebuild and stay focused, stay positive. I know it's not the end of the world, but for some it could be. And everybody's story's their own with this.
Why do you feel to say that?
Say what?
Do you do that to encourage me, or is it more
Which part
it's not the end of the world, and do you feel like people are feeling like it's a sob story for me?
No, I just feel like, you know, like, again, it goes back to, like, when it's not like prostate cancer or breast cancer.
But here...
I feel like in the cancer world, like, people who have real, like, I guess they call it, like, because we've been hearing this, oh, you have the good cancer. It's okay.
Well, and
it's like having a wart.
That's what they're saying to you. I love her question to you, though.
Well, no, I love it too, but I need clarification on what.
That's pretty spot on.
Because the other aspect of that is when we were shooting the TV show, I was talking about my thyroid condition.
Right.
We were getting calls of people saying, "Oh, you know, blah blah blah. You're shooting a TV show. You should be happy." And so that's kind of like that topic. It's like, yeah, I'm shooting a TV show. I have two healthy kids. Life is great, but you know what? I have major struggles too.
Yeah, before we dive right into this, let's introduce our next guest, Reem Cuntinello, a clinical social worker and owner of Finding Balance, also a rapid trauma specialist. Reem, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, now that's over with. Let's get back into it.
No, so I am.
Are you sure, Frank?
Come on, bring it.
Frank always tries to be positive.
Yeah.
And I think it's great, and it's a great.
Sure.
Personality to have, but sometimes I do feel like people are a little harsh on me because, you know,
people meaning me?
No, you a little bit.
Oh, I can see where this is going, folks. This is going to be therapy right now.
I think our spouse is one of our worst critics. I think that's a fair statement.
If nobody's going to be positive, then who's going to be the uplifting person or the foundation to at least begin the lifting process?
Well, It's definitely important to have that balance in a relationship, and there usually is one person that does more of that than the other. Absolutely, yeah.
And I guess all I'm saying is, yes, it's thyroid cancer. Yes, I'm living. Yes, I have healthy children. But until you walk in my shoes, don't tell me, like, you know, just grow up or, you know, move on.
I don't ever say that
to you. And not just to you, but just in general. It's like, you know what, people, live a day in my life, and then maybe you won't judge.
Well, and I think I hear what you're saying, right? So everybody glorifies your life. Everybody romanticizes what your days look like. You have a TV show. Your husband's a celebrity.
Married to this handsome guy.
Yeah.
Really? This is what I deal with on a daily basis. Daily basis.
But see, you're laughing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think that a lot of people sit in judgment and they don't take the time to say, well, that's not the best of everything. You know, I mean, we all know. Money and fame does not buy happiness. I mean, there's no doubt, right?
Yeah, no, and it doesn't. It definitely doesn't. And you could see that across the board in so many celebrities today. You know, like, they all, because of social media, they're putting it all out there. And you could see that they're real, you know, for the most part. The celebrities who let you in that far. And, you know, my point in saying that, Sherry, was really not as a knock. It was more like, in general, what we've been hearing since your diagnosis is, oh, it's nothing. It's the good cancer.
And that's true.
You know, that's a hard thing to swallow. It's like, you don't know how it's impacted our life. You know, and it's easy to generalize and say, oh, I know somebody who has stage 4 and they're dying, so you should be happy.
Sure. And I think everybody is looking to say something to make someone feel better. Right. And they just don't know what that is. So they say these blanket statements in hope of reaching you and uplifting you.
True.
Yeah.
And I guess it's more of just like, you know, what comes along with having a thyroid issue is a lot of ups and downs.
Sure.
But all in all, I am grateful. I do feel great for the most part. And I'm just trying to give you a hard time because
I know
you do have to be positive and keep going. But, you know, sometimes.
And that's keeping it real right there.
Right.
Giving me a hard
sometimes
time.
Sometimes you're like zippity-doo-dah, right?
Yeah.
Like zippity-doo-dah.
I have a friend
that I call zippity-doo-dah.
But listen, like, she's being truthful right now. What this has done is taken a, you know, having a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. I don't care who you are. You could be super parent. You're still going to have a hard time with a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old.
You know, absolutely.
To maintain any kind of life relationship, you know, anything outside of that is difficult on its own. Add cancer to that mix. Now it's a whole other level of intensity. And this is why I have you on the show today. Right. Is like, how do you deal with that at home now? Like, how do you now? All right, you've been diagnosed. You're going through all this process. I mean, let's be truthful. We told our kid, our 5-year-old, that my wife was going in for tonsil surgery.
Sure.
What am I going to tell my son Luca that your mother's going in for cancer? You know, like,
well,
and
I think
people may not agree with that.
It depends on the child, right?
Right.
It depends on what they can take on. And I think we've talked about this, the three of us, and there's nothing on this planet that could have prepared me for childhood and being a parent and having to watch everything that you go through and knowing how to parent effectively and knowing how much attention and how much discipline. And there's nothing. There's not a DVD. There's not a book. There's not a person. There's not a song. There was nothing that could have prepared me for what was coming.
Yeah.
You know, I'm blessed with 4 children. They were all born within 5 years, and I love them dearly.
Because they're here, you're saying this.
Of course.
I'm kidding.
they're pretty amazing. I mean, they're amazing children, and it's still been the toughest job I've ever had in my life. And my hat will always go off to stay-at-home moms who dedicate everything they have to their children, because I think it's super challenging. But can I answer that as a blanket statement? No. I mean, it depends on your individual child. I would do something different with all 4 of mine, you know, and what they can manage and what they can handle.
Yeah.
You know?
And let's take some of our listeners are chiming in here. Let's talk to Barbara. Hey, Barbara, thanks for calling the show.
Hi. I just wanted to say that people can be very cruel when you're ill and sick. And I always say to them, look what I do and not what I don't do.
Well, I think it's really scary when you don't really know what to say and you're feeling so bad. And
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, some people act out of fear and they just want to say anything to make someone feel bad or make someone feel better, mm-hmm. not knowing that might be something that actually makes them feel worse.
I think I just told Frank that this morning.
Yeah.
I was like, what about all I do?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely. But that is really not what people focus on.
8 brain surgeries, 2 strokes.
Jeez.
Wow.
Wow, Barbara, you're superwoman.
Very strong.
And you're still here talking to us on the radio. That's a blessing.
Yeah, and I'm up and I'm moving and I'm thankful. I thank the Lord above every day.
That's right.
Yeah.
But then I've got, you know, certain people, you don't drive, you don't do this. You know, I can't.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know, those people you probably want to limit your time around unless they're family members and you can't.
They are family members.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is that it's very hard to fight every day, just like you go through, Terry.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It is. And that's like
with your children. My children saw a lot of horrible things.
Mm. It's tough. Well,
but
Barbara,
it does make them more resilient.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everybody so wants to give everybody a romanticized childhood, a fairy tale world, when let's get real, disappointment is healthy. That's how you learn how to cope.
Yeah. Thank you, Barbara. We appreciate the call. Yeah. It is. And you have and we're gonna take a quick break and we're gonna get on this topic, Reem, because you have a pretty hardline approach sometimes when it comes to the way you see parenting. And you know, and I love to talk about it because I know Sherry has a completely opposite approach, which is great because I'm going to stand in the middle.
We respect each other's approaches,
Completely. Right. And I'm curious to hear our listeners' opinion on which. And it's not a right or wrong.
No,
it's
no.
just the way
well,
you do
my
it.
My way is right, but
of
I'm
course.
Just saying.
Exactly. All right. On that note, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the John Williams Show. I'm Frank Fontana. This is my wife, Sherry Fontana. Sitting in with us is Reem Cuntinello, clinical social worker, and Finding Balance is her company. And that's what she does, is help people find balance. And that's what we're talking about today. We left off on the topic of raising kids through tough times and approaches to raising kids. Very interesting topic, because sitting to the right of me is my wife, Sherry. Sitting to the left of me in this corner is Reem Cuntinello. Two very, I would say, different.
Frank's trying to live out a dream.
I am. This is a very interesting topic for another show. But anyway, Reem, explain to the listening audience your approach on parenting?
I think my approach is very similar to Sherry's approach in that we are very much our real authentic selves with our children. There's not another person that's showing up to raise our kids.
True. Very
right?
True.
Right. Yeah. I just think the circumstances most oftentimes dictate how you parent. I mean, I have four children, like we said, born within 5 years. I mean, so I'm looking to create some serious independence as quickly as possible and have lots of accountability and lots of ownership and lots of movement. I personally don't feel I have the luxury of doing everything for all of them.
But you're you're pretty hardline. Like you're like, you're doing this and you're taking responsibility for this and you make them accountable.
Yeah. I strongly believe in expectations for anyone.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, what do you do without them? And then if you know what they can live or, you know, they're capable of doing, you know, I have a son who's brilliant. He's capable of straight A's. He doesn't deliver that right all the time, but that's his journey. It's not for me to dictate, but it is my expectation. And he knows that.
Well, and I think, Frank, you looking in, we have children who are very different ages.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. Exactly. So those expectations and goals are much different than
exactly
your
what I'm saying. Yeah.
Totally. Well, I mean,
but he's Frank is smirking at me.
I know, because we've had this talk. So the way my brain works for my family, understand this isn't for everybody's family, is that I feel like. What am I raising in my children so they leave my home and they can be the most independent, highly functioning people that are out there?
Yes.
And by the way, the one stat that is out there that says that produces the most highly functioning, well-rounded children are two elements. And that's parents that are around after age 11, that are around more often than not. Not like in your children's face, but just around, right? So you can kind of see what's going on with their friends and hear about their world and family dinners. So those two things.
So we are
doing
exactly
great.
The same. See?
Yeah.
No, I do believe in family dinners.
Come on.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
So Sherry's position is very much soft approach. Like
sure.
Sherry's a nurturer.
Not true.
No, I'm not saying you don't, you know,
okay,
raise your voice to the kids and you know, are firm when you need to be. But, you know, like at what age did you stop tying your son's shoes?
Definitely 5-6.
Five,
okay.
Six.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Lucas. I know what Frank's saying.
Go ahead. You say.
I don't look at it like. I think I would. I definitely am preparing them for life, but I believe in. Okay, people will say, "Let them fall. They have to learn how to fall."
Sure.
And I say, yes, that's true, but. If I could protect them from falling when they are younger, I will do that because there will be times when I cannot. So my approach is definitely love them, nurture them, do as much as I can for them, let them feel love. Don't let them cry. If they fall on the floor, pick them up and love them and give them the confidence and security as opposed to shake it off, you're fine, be tough. So that's kind of my approach is a more nurturing kind of protective way, giving them the confidence and ability to then deal with that emotion, to deal with it later in life on their own.
Right. So with that example, I'd probably do both, depending on the circumstance. Right?
And that's true. Depending on the circumstance.
Right.
If it was a big bruise where they're bleeding,
exactly.
It will be handled differently
exactly.
than, oh, you just stubbed your toe.
Right.
I would still probably do the same. But
I understand what you're saying because I'm very much like, get her done.
Yes.
What do we need to do? What needs to happen?
Right.
You know, my 16-year-old went to the city yesterday. You know, big boy
had
stuff.
That work out.
All by himself. Took the car, parked, paid for parking.
No incidents.
Went to a function where I really didn't know the parents or anyone there. You know, was there some anxiety? Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's his journey. He has to learn to do this. I want him to have experiences. I want him to thrive. I want him to learn from that moment anything and everything he can learn.
Yeah.
So would 9 out of 10 moms probably not let him go? Right. Yeah. I'm from Lamont.
Right.
I doubt any other parent was allowing that. But I said to him, here's your trust. This is a gift. What you do with it is your choice. And the ramifications, they'll lie where they need to lie.
And how old is your son?
16.
He's 16.
And he was amazing.
Yeah.
And you know, he checked in a couple times, told me when he arrived, told me when he was leaving. It was like... Asked me if it was okay if he left at midnight. You know, I mean, it worked out beautifully.
Yeah. And I guess being different ages, obviously, there's different approaches.
Sure.
Who knows how we'll end up being? I mean, because who am I to speak? My son's 5. He's going to be 6 in another month, and I'm still carrying him up to bed at night.
Yeah.
You know, selfishly.
Yeah.
You know, like, I love the idea that.
Because you want those moments.
Yeah, I want those moments. And he's weighing about 50 pounds. It's not light anymore. Yeah. You know, like, well, I got to work out just to keep get him in and out of bed.
Right.
You do, actually. And people would always say when he was younger, oh, you baby him too much. You hold him too much. You coddle him too much. You know, he's not going to be able to do anything on his own.
Yeah.
And honestly, he's really confident and can walk into a room with adults and is super social. And I don't know if I would say independent, but he can be when he wants to be. So I think it's just all individual and you do the best you can.
Absolutely.
And then you just kind of like.
And I don't really know that there's a parent out there not doing the best they can. I think one of the worst enemies we have is other parents judging other parents' parents.
And then they put it on social media. Like, look how perfect my kid is. Oh, my kid's sleeping at 6 o'clock and they slept the whole night.
And they know how to swim and they're 3 and it's like,
I'm happy for them. I'm overjoyed for them. Right?
Right.
I mean, I'm not going to sit there. And I mean, I have a friend, Joe, whose child was swimming, she was 6 months, right? I think she was 6 months old. I mean, that was fantastic for them. I personally would have been so nervous, you know, but it works for them. But so many people spend so much time playing, you know, trying to play in other people's homes.
Right.
Right.
True.
Right.
Yeah.
Dreaming of it, right? Because most of the time it is a dream.
Yeah. You just have these wars.
I don't know how much of a reality like a lot of those stories are. Yeah. I mean, just yesterday we were sitting at our neighbors and talking, and I was fascinated because they were telling a story of how they hired a company to baby-proof their home. And I was like, okay, wait, what do you mean? Like, you went to Bye-Bye Baby and you bought the stuff and you had somebody.
Yeah.
They're like, no, we hired a person who comes in and says, oh, that fireplace needs this. Oh, this corner needs that. This electrical, you need to reroute this whole thing. And I'm in the renovation and design business. And I'm thinking to myself, what a racket. You know, like, and it preys on new parents who. Like we did. We bought every gadget, everything out there you can imagine to play it safe for the first child.
Sure.
And I think that just is kind of a personality thing, but I think it's also your first child, you know, is what you do.
Yeah. It's so different. I mean, we can all admit it's so different with your first.
Well,
right?
Parents just don't know. So times have changed so much. I'm definitely more of a traditional mother in the sense that I do like to have dinner every night. And people say, oh, your kids are young. When they get older, it will be harder. I get it. If they play sports, we'll have dinner at 8 o'clock at night then.
No, Sharon,
so I'm very, like, you're home. It's our family time. And I think that with women evolving and having careers, which I do as well, I think it's changed the entire environment of the world. And I think that children and parents are feeling the effects of it. But I kudos to mothers who are working and fathers. And I think this day and age, everything's so expensive. You need both parents working. But I think it's had a shift in life and parenting.
We have dinner at 3:30. That's the time we have family dinner.
That's awesome.
Before
I don't feel so bad.
At least you're still having it.
Exactly. I mean,
which means I'm cooking twice every night. But that's
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You
exactly.
Know?
At least you're with the family. We're going to have to take a quick break. Then we'll have some news after that. We're going to pick up the conversation with, and Reem, get yourself ready for this.
Ooh.
Actually having a adult relationship while having young children. Like, how does that work?
Well, good
and
luck.
Then, you know, adding this whole, you know, cancer thing to the mix and rebounding from that. So, you know, and we could blanket that statement with just tough times. How do you get through tough times with young kids and have a relationship? So let's leave it there and we're going to take a quick break. Welcome back to the John Williams Show. King John is off. I'm Frank Fontana. You hear me every Sunday, 1 to 3, here on WGN Radio 720. Being joined today with my co-host, my wife, Sherry Fontana. Being joined by guest Reem Cuntinello from Finding Balance. She's a social worker and rapid trauma therapy expert. What is this rapid trauma thing, Reem?
So RRT was created by Dr. John Connolly, and it's amazing. I mean, it's an incredibly healing short version of a therapeutic intervention to help someone get through trauma. So he started using it for...
You did it, didn't you?
I had it.
Yes. My friend Sherry did have it. Right by John. You got to meet John.
I think I need it again.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I think I need it now.
But I did have it.
But isn't it amazing?
So what's fascinating is I had it for my fear of flying.
Yeah.
So my anxiousness toward flying. But when it actually was happening and I was hypnotized, my experience, Frank's going to laugh, and all my friends listening from grammar school are cringing right now. What came out during that time was my second grade teacher experience and all of how horrific it was, and how that led to all of my anxiety.
Because she was a bully.
She was a mean old nun.
Well, that was a day. That was a day when nuns use rulers to discipline kids, right?
She used to pull my ear. I mean, so, but all jokes aside, I mean, that started my anxiety and my, you know, anger.
Well, I mean, you'd be surprised at how, like, one moment can impact a person's thought process. Mm-hmm. You know, so your body physiologically does not want to eat when it's stressed. But it just takes one person that you know who loves you to say one time, here, eat this, you'll feel better. And instantly you connect food with feeling better.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So it's interesting.
So Reem, because you're, you know, an expert in, you know, balancing trauma.
Yeah.
we were talking off air about the, you know, home, you know, I mean, that's kind of our, you know, where our heart is. We, you know, Sherry and I both in the home design and renovation business.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of my goal in design is to create balance through design into a home, but you know, sometimes that can only go so far. And then the relationships in the home, you know, are what they are. And how, in your opinion, from the psych side of things, do the two mesh together? How does the design and the functioning of your space affect the way people act in that space and those relationships in those spaces?
Well, what do they say? So whoever they is, they often say that a woman's home is a reflection of what's going on in her mind, right? So I work full time. I run a practice. I have a large family. So my home,
let's just say it like it is,
very much looks cluttered, right? Yeah. There's clutter piles everywhere, like paper here, you know, a basket of miscellaneous shoes here. I think I have curtains on my back counter and a Target bag. Like, you know, I was looking at them yesterday and my daughter Sophia moved them for me, thank God, because they were bothering me. I don't know how she knew, but.
So your mind, then you'd say, honestly, is that.
It is that cluttered. You know, when I wake up in the morning, I think, what ball is going to drop today? Not, am I going to drop a ball?
Right.
You know, but, and I'm okay with that. I mean, that wasn't part of what needed to get done that day.
So do you feel if you had more storage options, if you had cabinetry? You know,
I had less.
Less storage options.
No, if I had less things.
Yeah. So maybe you need an intervention.
Can you come help me?
I can help you.
So that's why I want to live in a tiny house.
Right.
Yeah. Please talk to her about this tiny house thing.
So Frank will not live in a tiny house, and he will not drive anywhere on vacation. But
They invented something called airplanes that get us there in of the time.
But global warming and the turbulence now with airplanes, right? That's a little scary.
Yeah.
I didn't even know about that. Another layer to my anxiety.
There we go.
Mention the T word. Sherry's deathly
afraid. But just so you know, that's not what causes a plane to go down.
I know. Okay. I took fear of flying classes. Obviously got the rapid trauma treatment. No, but I do think that people just are so busy today in this day that it's hard to keep your home really clean, and it's easy to keep it clean.
But isn't acceptance of that, like, do you accept it? And does that also then, okay, I know right now I can't, like, I tell this to Sherry sometimes, like, Sherry, it's okay. Like, in an hour we can clean this. Like, just chill.
But
you know,
if my,
like,
aunt and my grandmother walked in my house after like six kids left, they would think I was dirty, basically.
No, and I understand that, because that's, you know, my mom is pretty OCD, and when she comes over, she's like, you could have cleaned, and I would have spent 3 hours cleaning before she came. Right. I have at this point just kind of said to myself, in 7 years I will have a clean home.
Let's know where I'm at. There is a sign out there that says, my home is messy, but my children are happy.
Exactly.
I made that up, but it's something like
that. No, but that's exactly what I came to, and that's my argument with my mother about my home. And I'm like, Mom, I'm not going to spend the little time I have scrubbing a shower when I could be taking my children somewhere. I could be enjoying the family dinner. I could be reaching someone and helping them. Like, that's my priority right now.
But if it's also on the flip side causing you stress, then what's the balance?
That's, you know, what I'm trying to figure out.
You have to find the balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
24/7 help.
I think, you know, like, listen, we've designed hundreds of homes, and we walk into some of those homes, and you could sense it in the relationships in the home.
Yeah.
And again, you brought up kids. It seems like there's a formula here that happens, you know, because Sarah and I also often talk about our life pre-kids. And we had this amazing loft downtown Chicago in River North.
It
was amazing. I moved from LA. I was filming for HGTV. I came here. had all the money in the bank, and I could live in the single life. I met Sherry. We traveled, went to L.A.,
He built me this beautiful closet with just a table with, like, pink legs just for my shoes. I mean,
I love it.
And then what happens? You fall in love.
Yeah.
You get married.
Uh-huh.
You have kids.
Yeah.
You move to the suburbs. Although for the first year, you're like, we're never moving. That commercial, whatever that commercial is, where we're never moving to the suburbs. Boom, they're in the suburbs. We're never getting a van. They got a van. That happens, people. Like, yeah. I laugh at younger couples who say, oh, we're never doing that.
Yeah.
Call me in 3 years.
Yeah, because it does need to become about the children. And I say, you know, because my husband and I have differing opinions about how many children. My house is the go-to home where all the children are and they live, and some come on Friday, don't leave till Sunday when I'm dropping them off at 8 at night. And I love it. I love the patter of feet. I love hearing them. I love every – I don't love the mess, but I love everything else about it. And I'm making the meals. I'm doing all that because it's really a short period of time when you think about it, right?
Mm-hmm. But it feels like forever sometimes.
But if you live to 100 – and you're spending like 20 years, 15 years really dedicated to child rearing and being present.
But we're kind of older parents.
It's a fifth of your life.
Wouldn't you say?
It's a fifth of your life.
I'm younger
Think
than
about
you,
it.
So I am not an older
parent.
You
are.
No, I'm a little bit older of a parent, I would say. But that is why I spend all of my time with them and really trying to give them everything they need emotionally and just physically, affection, because it does go fast.
Yes.
And I want to look back at that time and say, I gave them everything I could have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's one childhood they got.
Well,
you know?
It is true. Let's talk to somebody who has a little bit more experience than all of us. Paulette is calling in. Hey, Paulette, thanks for calling the show.
Hello. Yellow. I'm just commenting because I'm laughing inside. The stress of being a mother and keeping your house and everything, even when I wasn't working and I have six children, it's a different kind of stress. More was expected. Your house was expected to be clean and, you know, your children perfect and, you know, all those same things, except now I think it's different, a different dynamic with mom working and less children, though, you know.
And Paulette, were you working back when you had your children were young?
No, I was very fortunate that I didn't have to. You know, it was financially, you had to be careful, and you couldn't take them on these vacations.
Right. Yeah.
You didn't go out to dinner as much as my children and their children go out. You know, picking up food to go out, I mean, my kids hardly knew what McDonald's was.
Right. And unfortunately, right, in this day and age, I mean, I was a mom that said, oh, my kids won't eat McDonald's.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Before
uh-huh.
I had them. And now we're there.
Knock on wood. Our kids
we
still
have
happens.
McDonald's stock. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we're
it's
for travel sports. Stress. You're running through McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Now, Paulette, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
Oh, 74.
74. Now, was your husband, I would say, you know, old school for the time where he expected the house to be maintained, he expected a dinner on the table?
I think that was more on me. He would say, well, because wouldn't I be frustrated because things weren't this way that I wanted? He'd say, well, were the children taken care of? Are they fed? Are they happy? And I'd say, yeah. He says, well, then your job is done.
Wow.
So, how nice that is.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
But we always ate dinner together, and we mixed it, try to fit it in be with soccer practices and all those other things. But that was a key. We've tried pretty much always had dinner together.
I think that's one of the most important things, Paul. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm enjoying your show.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. Yeah,
that's
I mean,
so
there's definitely some factors here. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll continue our conversation. And then maybe it'll help, Reem, if the house was bigger. We're going to talk about five sensational celebrity homes you could buy right now. How about that? Welcome back to the John Williams Show. I'm Frank Fontana, sitting in for John Williams. Co-hosting with me today is my wife, Sherry Fontana. Joining us is Reem Cuntinello from Finding Balance. She's a social worker and a rapid trauma therapy expert. We're talking through some family issues at the home, how it's important to have family dinners and balancing those relationships with kids and all that stuff. And we have a caller here, Matt, who says it's really important for him, but it's went from routine to special occasion. Matt, what's the story?
Well, hi. By the way, I've never got to listen to you on the weekdays, so this is an extra pleasure.
Why, thank you, Matt. Well, you got to tune in 1 to 3 every Sunday. I'm there for you.
I will never miss that again.
I love you, Matt.
But That's awkward. But no. All right. So here's the story. I would get out of school about 3 o'clock. We would stop by McDonald's. This happened like every day, nonstop during school for like 4 straight years. I get 2 double cheeseburgers. I'd scarf them down. And then come 6 o'clock, we'd have dinner. Now, my mother was always there, always. My father traveled a lot for business, so he wasn't always there. So we didn't always have a complete family dinner.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a partial family dinner. And, you know, when my sister was home from college and all that, we'd have family dinner. And I turned out just fine with partial family dinners.
So there you go. I mean, yeah. Maybe it's okay.
Hey, listen, anything is okay if it works.
Right.
Right. Exactly. If you're happy and if you're healthy and if you feel like you have a sense of belonging in your family and if you feel loved, a lot of things are
Did
okay.
your dad spend a lot of time with you when he was back, Matt?
My dad spent most of the time sleeping outside on the porch. But occasionally when he was home, this happened for 26 years. Every single day, he'd say, I'll be home at 5. Dinner's at 5:30. Be home at 5. Okay. He'd come home at like 6:30, 7 o'clock without fail. So
he needed a better watch.
Yeah. So I ate at 6 o'clock with the rest of the family. He came in and scarfed what was left down.
Interesting.
But, yeah.
Well, good stuff, Matt. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you chiming in.
You're amazing, Mr. and Mrs. Fontana.
Why, thank you, sir. You're so kind. I appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Bye-bye.
Oh, what a nice guy.
I did owe that.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Serene, we were talking about your household, and I thought it might be cool if we just talked about some potential homes you could buy that might help your clutter situation, like these sensational celebrity homes. Let's start with, how about Elvis's former Beverly Hills home? We'll move across country. Yeah, look, your daughter's happy about that.
Nyla would love that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was listed last year for only $30 million. Let's see. It's about 5,367 square feet, and it's in Trousdale Estates Enclave. So that might – it's a mid-century. I don't know if you're into mid-centuries.
No.
That's out then. Yeah, okay, come on. We'll put that one on the shelf. Yeah. Sherry, you want to see Jackie O's?
Ooh.
So Jackie O's childhood summer home in East Hampton.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I mean, here – I look at this, I think it's beautiful, but we do know that even if you have a big home, a lot of money, like unless there is love and structure and family values, I don't care how big your house is. It may help for clutter, but I want to go small. Like I want to live in an Airstream and just have, you know, 5 outfits, healthy food. They can play outside, but it requires us to move from Chicago, which I won't leave my family. So.
Or Jackie O's childhood home, a 10 bedrooms, 11 and a half baths, heated pool, a 2-bedroom pool house, 1-bedroom get house.
See, I mean, this is really what I deal with.
Listen,
could go there for the weekend.
We could, yeah,
that'd
be great.
You want to compromise?
Yeah, I've been reading this book from Grant Cardone. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's kind of a money-making guru, entrepreneur, you know, author, speaker. And his motto is, if you're going to be unhappy, be rich and unhappy.
True. So, you can have a ton of money and have a big mansion and have a great home and great children and great family.
You and I could not live in a tiny home. I'm telling you now.
Oh, we could.
I love you and we'll be together forever, but not in a tiny home.
In Malibu?
Maybe. Maybe that
we
would
could
be
drive
only.
Our Airstream across country to Malibu.
I love it.
Or we could park it up.
You might be able to do it if you had a fantastic open view on the outside.
Like this,
right?
Like Tom Ford's ranch that's for sale in Mexico. It's located a half mile outside of Santa Fe. It's only 20,000 square feet.
Oh.
Right,
he wants a big home so he could hide from me.
You're right. It has 8 stalls for horses, so your dad, who rides horses, would love to come visit us. And it's got indoor and outdoor riding arenas, separate living quarters for the ranch.
I would do that for my dad. Okay. We'd have to pick up this home and transport it here or somewhere for my dad to actually live in this house. But
yeah,
this could work. I can maybe do this.
And if you don't like that, we can go back to California, Jane Fonda's home, which is currently for sale.
I love her.
This one's only 7,100 square feet of living space.
Did you see her on her show where she can straight leg lift her whole foot up and rinse it off in the sink while wearing heels at
recently?
70? Yeah, like 76 or 78, whatever she
My mother used to do
She's
the Jane
amazing.
Fonda workouts.
Wait, is she married?
I don't know.
Does she have children? Are they young? No.
I think she has children. Right?
I actually don't know.
I don't ever remember her having a husband.
Yeah, I don't know why.
But she was definitely
like Peter
Fonda
her
queen.
Husband or her brother?
Dad, I thought.
Dad.
Right?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Smart lady.
Good stuff. Well, yeah. Reem, thank you so much for joining us. This has been fun. Where can people find out more information about your practice?
We have a website, so findingbalancelimited.com, and our offices are in Lamont, Illinois, and Lyle, Illinois.
Do you still have that sign up?
Location? Well, at the old location, yeah. We do. That's just kind
I'm
of
going to send
sitting
someone
there
to take
in
it
the
down
abandoned
one day.
Building. But I mean, honestly, you know that I'm so blessed with the best team ever, and I'm grateful to have them. They're amazing people.
They are. And you've been, Reem is on our speed dial. She should be on your speed dials whenever we have a moment where like, I think we need to call Reem.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it usually helps. Oh, by the way, clarification, Elif just chimed in. It's Peter Fonda is Jane's brother.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. Thank you.
And if you're calling
Did she ever
reason,
marry?
I don't know. Elif will Google that in the last moments of our show here.
To be continued.
To be continued. Right. Yeah. Stay tuned on Sunday. We'll break it to you. If Jane Fonda, I'm sure everyone's going to text in any second right now that if she was married or not. And here it is. Jane was married to Ted Turner, Father Henry, and brother Peter.
That's right.
Thank you, folks. See, our listeners here at WGN are kind of our, you know, encyclopedia.
I love it.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Rokan and Anna is coming up next. And I think they drink today, don't they? It's Friday. Oh, we should
drinking
hang out
for and that. Donuts.
Yeah, what a dream. Carnival wagon. Oh, I got to wait for this one. All right, folks, we'll be right back.